All right, welcome to the Friday Speaker Share meeting. And I am so honored to introduce Doreen, who's been a beautiful person in my life and in my recovery, and has taken the time to tell me all these beautiful things about. She shows me she loves me by her words and her smile and her care for me at almost every meeting. And at first, when Doreen came into my life, I'm like, is this lady real? And I can say she really is. So I'm happy to introduce Doreen. Thank you for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Shauna. Well, I'm Doreen, and I'm recovering from multiple things, but I have to say that recovering from depression has probably been the most gratifying and interesting of everything else. And it's primarily because of the fellowship. And depression is so interesting. I feel like lately I've been very tired. I have something called adrenal burnout, and it can be really severe. And I've been going to the gym and walking, and a couple of weeks ago, I decided that I didn't really need my herbs anymore. So I think I stopped taking them for about a week, and then it really caught up with me. So I've been recovering from that deep fatigue where doesn't matter how much sleep I get, I wake up exhausted in the morning. But pretty much when I take my herbs, I have a relatively good life and a lot to be grateful for. And my story with depression is very, very mild compared to so many other people in this program. I've never been hospitalized. The one time that I begged my therapist to send me to a psychopharmacologist so I could get depression medication, she said, well, you couldn't afford that. And so I left there and I never went back. But when I went home, I remembered that in my medicine chest, there was one homeopathic remedy that was specifically for depression. And it had been in my medicine chest for a while because I thought, you know, what the hell? This is not going to do anything for me. But I was desperate. So I took it and it worked. I can say that I basically have been depressed off and on for my whole life. And it started in childhood with a very, being an only child of emotionally and spiritually disabled parents, you know, who carried their legacy forward onto me. And thank God that's a legacy that I stopped. And so I'm a big believer in not only is this healing myself, but it's going backwards. It's going and generating and distributing to my parents who have passed on and my ancestors. Anyway, being an only child with people who are unable to really be a parent to you, I remember being alone a lot. So my dogs, my animals were so important to me, the little loves of my life and my lifeline for companionship. And I thought, I didn't really know why I was depressed, but having become from a chubby child growing into a very obese adolescent and then a morbidly obese adult, I assigned my depression to the fact that life is not fun if you're overweight in America. And I remember once coming down, as my weight was coming down in my original 12-step program, I got really, really thin. I probably got too thin. And when my adrenals crashed, my weight went up probably about 15 pounds. And I ran into my aunt's sister-in-law, and she made a comment to me about how heavy I had gotten again. And I wasn't heavy at all. And so there's a lot of dysfunction in my family. And there was a lot of enmeshment. My mother had multiple sclerosis, and being the only child in a half Italian family where you have a sick mother, you are not expected to get a life for yourself. You know, it was all about taking care of your mother. And because I had a sponsor and I had program, there were things that I knew that I had to do to get myself off the family hook. And I had to do some really hard things that were very depressing in and of themselves. For instance, my mother had remarried to my stepfather, and she encouraged him. He did long distance truck driving jobs, and she encouraged him to take these jobs on the road where he would be gone for a couple of weeks at a time. And then she would make herself fall out of bed in the middle of the night in the winter and call me. And several times I told her to call the paramedics, and it killed me. It killed me. And it was sickening to me. But the end result of that, a few months later, was my mother stopped sending my stepfather away because she really preferred me. And had I not gotten out of that toxic living situation, I would have been a 300-pound bulimic with no life at all. And so being overweight is very depressing. Being alone and coming from a family situation like that is very depressing. And so I lived with this shadow of depression, and at different times it was heavier and other times it was lighter. When I finally got thin in OA, I couldn't figure out why was I still depressed. And I remember at one point, I was a dietitian, and I had an adorable little apartment on the grounds at New England Memorial Hospital. And there was an episode with my stepfather where he was being abusive to my mother. And it was a really hard times then. And I remember thinking, I'm having a nervous breakdown, and I wanted to go to a hospital, but I knew I couldn't because of my food addiction and all the crap food that's in the hospital and how I would interact with that. So I had to have a nervous breakdown by myself on my own and go to work and do things that normal people do and make myself survive it. And so after I was thin, the first 2 years after being thin, I think I was about 36 at that time. And I was so depressed. And I had a wonderful therapist who did, was called, at that time it was called body-centered psychotherapy. And I was in a session with her one day, and she took me on an inner journey, and it, I'll never forget it. It was, if you're my age and you watch cartoons on Saturday morning, there would be this beautiful music from the Peer Gynt suite. And it was sort of like a dawn breaking melody. And if you heard it, you would recognize it. And so I'm sitting there in this meditation, and I'm hearing the music, and it's kind of daybreak breaking, and I'm imaging myself like a volcano, and all this stuff was spurting out like a tire iron and the plastic on a six pack of Coke and junk. This junk's coming out. And all of a sudden, I see in my center a beautiful serpent. And I knew right away it was the Kundalini. I'm a yoga teacher, and the Kundalini is said to be a serpent that rests at the base of the spine that raises up as we get more and more conscious. And I heard a voice as the serpent was rising, and it was myself. And the voice said to me, get up right now out of this meditation, or you're going to remember that your father sexually abused you when you were three. And when that serpent was up to about my heart, I sat up, I opened my eyes, and I said to my therapist, that's it. Like, I don't want to do any more today. And she didn't push on it. And the thing was, the cat was out of the bag. And so then I did various things. I did more therapy. I did Phoenix Rising yoga therapy, where I was held in a supportive pose that was a heart opener. It's called Cobra. And I relived the experience that I had. Unfortunately, my father passed away. He had passed away, my biological father, when I remembered it. And I could have spoken to him. You couldn't talk to my mother about anything, because she'd have an MS exacerbation and it would be my fault. And even more interesting, a few years down the road, sorry, the garbage trucks are outside. A few years down the road, at a yoga retreat at my original yoga ashram, I had an experience in a guided meditation of my father coming and asking me for forgiveness. And that was very, very powerful. And I've been blessed with a lot of experiences like that have helped to heal me and have been fuel to keep going on this spiritual journey. And a couple of years ago, my friend Jane told me about DA. And I was at her house one day and she was on a meeting, and I put it on my phone and I listened to the person on the way home, and I'm thinking, yeah, well, I don't know, you know? And then I realized after I heard him share, I felt better. So I started coming and I got to be with you all. And it was very interesting. For me, a primary thing about being depressed is being alone. And with this fellowship, more than any of my other previous fellowships, I feel like I never have to be alone. I could wake up at 2 a.m. and if I needed a call, I could put it on WhatsApp. And so I feel like I had this sort of skyrocketing recovery. And I didn't feel a lot of that previous depression. And the depression was its worst for me for the 3 years of the pandemic. And that was financially related, because I didn't work for a really long time. And I'm someone who does the tools, and I work the program, and I work with my mind all the time. And I couldn't believe how far down the totem pole I went. And DA really has given me everything I could dream of that I would want. It's almost ridiculous what I'm going to say. I'm glad I have depression, because without it, I would not have the DA program. And so I came here and I started coming to meetings and I started connecting with people. And within the first few months, I met a man and was in a relationship. And around the fifth month, I really fell in love with him, and he decided he did not want any part of that after pursuing me for 5 months. And then I hit a wall and I was depressed again. And then last February, it started to lift, and I just kept coming to meetings and talking with people and in a step study group. And that's a wonderful experience. It's called the co-sponsor group. We have these meetings and and a wonderful step meeting at 11 a.m. on Wednesday mornings. And I think I feel that recovery is just so possible. And it's not just possible, it's probable. And it's like they say in the promises, this program works, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but it will always work for us. And I think it was 6 months ago, I announced at a Sunday night meeting that I was deciding not to be depressed because I don't like myself when I'm depressed. I'm really a very happy person ordinarily. And I felt that with the type of depression I have and with my understanding of plasticity, neuroplasticity, and how thoughts become entrenched in our minds. And you can look up thinking and you will find that like 80%, even 90% of the thoughts that we have every day, they're not original. They're the same crap that's on a revolving ticker tape. And so I made this announcement and the next morning I thought, well, you know, now what the hell am I gonna do? And so I realized right away that through the whole day, I had to focus on acceptance and gratitude. And acceptance had to be across the board. There couldn't be any involvement for me, like, oh, this isn't fair, or how did this happen to me, or why is it happening? I just had to say, okay, God, okay, universe, if this is coming down right now and you're allowing it to happen, ultimately it's going to be for my good. And I'm even going to be grateful for it, which is pretty pathetic. Thank you. Pretty pathetic, you know, to be grateful for stuff that you don't want. But I don't know. I don't want to gush, but I can tell you that not only has DA, I don't want to say cure, but I'll say like it cured me of my depression, but it's there knocking on the door. When it knocks, I call someone, I go to the gym, I added walking to my tools. And in January, I walked over to the gym and I joined. And it's moderate, you know, but it's enough to make a huge difference with my mental status, my energy level, sleeping well after not sleeping well for years because of this adrenal burnout thing and the menopause issues. And it's a big part where I walk through the doors of the gym, I can feel crap draining. It's like my stress and negativity is draining away. And I think every single thing I do helps to reorder any mistaken ideas, any entrenched crap. It's like a Roto-Rooter, and everybody makes a contribution to that. Last night, the meeting was so good. Someone was speaking and I took notes. And interestingly, this one of the speakers said, you know, my body records everything. And it's like, yeah, our bodies are the repository of every single joy, heartache, and devastation we've ever had. And we have each other and the field of the body to work through because it's the only connection we have from the outside to the inside, from up there, you know, divinity. It's a great life. I can say it. And I say it to all of you. And I love you all. And I one day said several months ago, like when I leave here, I don't leave alone because I'm holding all of your hands in my heart. And maybe it doesn't make you happy, but it makes me very, very content. And I just want to do one thing, if I can find it. I want to read the paragraph on acceptance from the big book of AA. It's on page 417. When I stopped living in the problem and began living in the answer, the problem went away. From that moment on, I have not had a single compulsion to drink. or to sadden ourselves or whatever the thing is that we do. And here we go. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me. I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it's supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept my depression, my alcoholism, my addictions, I could not stay sober. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to be with you like this. Namaste.